This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, I need to do a Be Real. It came up a minute ago. I want to do it with the podcast in it, though. You know? Be Real's cool. Ting, 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 ting.
Do me and Ben.
You can do your smile a little bit later, you see.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So, look.
My smile is pretty whack. It's no joke, says the Daily Mail. Half of us can't recall the last time we laughed.
Oh, yes, that's a very sad story.
You were meant to laugh then, to give everyone a giggle, because your infectious laugher is... I have to give a comic performance so that you laugh. No, that's horrid. That's better. We might think we're known for our sense of humour. We. Who? Daily Mail readers?
Yeah.
I think it means British people, but... We might think we're known for... Yeah. No, surely it's your racism.
Well, if... Daily Mail readers can be judged by people in below-the-line comments. The Daily Mail has no sense of humour whatsoever.
We might think we're known for our sense of humour, but nearly half, 42%, good maths, of Britons say they can't remember the last time they laughed out loud, according to a survey. The average Briton laughs only 3 times a week.
I just think that's not true. How can you only... I would die if I only laughed 3 times a week.
Yeah, no, you laugh absolutely... The whole point of this podcast is just the sound of you cackling.
Yeah.
You laugh for 3 times a minute. And 32% believe they haven't as much as giggled in the past month. 69% of those. I mean, obviously, surveys are... We're going to come to the end. Who's it going to be sponsored by? Because this is...
A dentist.
Because this is the kind of story which only gets in the paper because it's been sponsored.
Yeah.
Laughter. It'll be a breath thing, a Listerine. You said dentist, but I'm going Listerine or... Zy Bennett from broadcaster Sky, which commissioned the research to promote its comedy programmes. So I'm thinking we're going to try and provide some laughs for this nation in depleted laughter. And obviously people go, there's not much to laugh about because of Brexit. And obviously there's obviously lots of grim news all the time.
But people, you still see people walking into doors and stuff. That's what's funny. I mean, the funniest things that have ever happened to me have been although it does say there that people laugh at things that their children did. I'm afraid the funniest things that I've ever seen in my life are when my sort of children have sort of not hurt themselves, but sort of fallen over or walked into things.
Well, when Sam was two and he ran round the bed and then fell and banged his head on the corner of the...
No, he was doing...
And he had a black eye like a rainbow.
Yeah, that wasn't funny at all. Funny. No, that wasn't funny. But when Kitty was so engrossed by the television that she absentmindedly walked into a door, she didn't hurt herself. She kind of bounced off it and laughed because she'd been so sort of engrossed by the television that she just sort of walked into this door. I mean, that was very funny.
Weren't we walking to the pub to the Red Lion and Sun the other day, walking along, and Sam just went splat?
No, that was my birthday 2 years ago. That was also very funny. We were walking out of the pub and Sam just sort of... Sam just fell over. Didn't hurt himself, but fell over. And then stood up and just went, I'm fine. I just kept on walking.
So what I love about that is that's the worst anecdote anyone's ever told.
I know.
But nonetheless, you're laughing away, so people might be chuckling away. But the idea, we walked out of the pub and Sam fell over and then one laughs to oneself.
But it was just really funny. I think that people falling over is very funny.
Anyone would think you couldn't concentrate on something for a moment.
What's that?
This is the bit, this is how I'm trying to introduce what we want to talk about this week, which is the ADHD mania.
Diagnosis.
The bonkersness. The scourge. And do we have to parenthesise this with mental health issues are really important and we take them seriously? And
ADHD is not a mental health issue, it's a psychiatric issue, and that's slightly different from mental health.
I mean, look, I was going to go, who's having trouble concentrating? It must be ADHD. Mm-hmm. It's like, there were for a long time... people would go, oh, I'm so OCD, it's my OCD.
Right.
Because people want to have a diagnosis for something. An obsessive compulsive disorder, I guess, must be a real thing that is genuinely debilitating for the tiny, tiny number of people that genuinely have it. As a child, I had to do everything in twos and fours, and it took a long time to get through it. Went on into my 20s, and if I walked along a corridor and my left hand sort of brushed the wall, I'd have to turn around and walk back the other way and brush it with my hand. Mm-hmm. And if, you know, if I trod on a line with my left foot, I'd have to do it with my right foot. I had to even things out.
Or would something bad happen? Or you just had to?
Yeah, it just became a thing. And there were twos and fours. And it was just a little bit odd. And I was a little bit, I suppose, as a child, I was a little bit uncomfortable in my skin. So I had a bit of an evening things up there. But now people go, oh, I'm so OCD, because they want pity and sympathy. And it seems to me that ADHD is the big thing at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But these celebrities, you know.
There are lots of celebrities.
Johnny Vegas.
Yeah.
Has come out with it. There was someone else this week.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, they just identify as sort of creative, jittery people.
But generally speaking, you know, if people are wanting to find excuses for things. So do you remember there was sex addicts? And they were only ever diagnosed after screwing 100 people who weren't their wife.
Yeah.
And then they say, I'm a sex addict, and they had to get sympathy.
That's probably a facet of ADHD as well.
When famous people, when busted doing something, would check themselves into a clinic. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's because of this. It's a bit like Dominic Raab. Hugo Rifkin wrote a very good column, The Bullying, The Not Bullying.
Yeah.
Hugo wrote a column just saying, he's obviously just a bit of a twat.
Yeah.
He's like he's a mean person. There are loads of them, and Raab is one.
It is absolutely part of a cult and a culture of pathologizing everything. And this is where, am I allowed to bring in Dr. Max?
Yes,
Dr. Max Pemberton, who's a columnist in a
Well, this is why we're talking about it.
Who I absolutely love. Dr. Max, if you listen to the podcast, just call me.
Come on and be a guest.
It's fine. So he's an NHS psychiatrist, and he writes a column, and he's always very interesting about everything. And this week, he wrote a piece about how his clinic is now swamped with people saying that they've got ADHD.
And what did he say? In 30 years in practice, I've never once saw an ADHD.
Well, it's actually 20, because he's not that old.
Fine.
So he's 20 years of seeing literally no one with ADHD in my clinic. I now come across it all the time. And he's like, what's going on? And then he says, according to the test, I've got ADHD too. Ludicrous! Exclamation mark.
Well, this is the thing, because there are these collections of things. People who go...
Oh, and sorry, one more thing I wanted to add, sorry, that it's very important that he's saying, is that a lot of the people he sees with ADHD have had a private diagnosis, and that's quite significant. The difference between an NHS diagnosis of anything and a private diagnosis of anything is quite significant, particularly with psychiatric
issues. Time and money. Having having two or three very close friends and relatives who are autistic, we know that the diagnosis, which takes 2 years on the NHS, costs £2,000 privately, but only takes 6 weeks. So you can translate a year on the NHS to £1,000 and you can get it.
Yeah.
And obviously, if you're a celebrity with ADHD, you can't possibly wait 2 years.
Yes.
Also, because the NHS will probably tell you to fuck off.
They will tell you to fuck off.
Because they just say, fess up to your failings. But the idea that if you're creative and if you're a comedian and if you're... that in some way, you know, that your inability to... You find the quotidian humdrum too boring to cope with. That's the truth, is that you've got to drink, you've got to fuck, you've got to perform on stage, and everything else you can't tolerate. It's not because you're ADHD, it's because life is boring.
Well, some of them are. Some of them, but the problem with diagnoses for ADHD and also ASD, Autistic Spectrum Disorder, they are quite... I've seen the process with ASD reasonably sort of close up. And it is just much more vague than you think it is.
So what they have is an algorithm, and they have a questionnaire. And they will have 1,000 questions or 2,000 questions. So when people go... And then, as we know, our experience of people, of our close experience of autism, is that you tell anyone else and they go, oh, I'm a bit autistic too.
Yeah.
Everyone thinks they are, because they quite like sitting alone and reading. Dr. Max thinks that that it's a bit of a scam. He's saying that the people in the business are diagnosing it. A whole industry has sprung up in diagnosing people with ADHD. It's very profitable for psychiatrists and psychologists, and there's a stream of people who will pay handsomely to get a diagnosis.
And Dr. Max makes a very good point. He says sometimes people arrive, they're sort of twitching, and they can't complete tasks, and I'm paraphrasing now, he says, if they just got off their phones for 5 seconds.
Yeah, that's
what he's
saying. Get off your fucking phone.
Yeah.
But assessments can cost anything from £800 to several thousand. Then there's the ongoing treatment, which often includes private prescriptions for medication. Only a psychiatrist can prescribe. And then he goes on to say, there's nothing wrong with you, just get off your phone. I thought I would Google ADHD.
Yeah, because if anyone's likely to have ADHD, it's you, right?
And when you Google ADHD, you get the NHS, which is good. But if you Google ADHD test, you immediately get ADHD test online clinical partners. And this is clinicalpartners.co.uk. Beneath that, do I have ADHD? Take our simple quiz from psychom.net. Below that, adult ADHD survey, ADHD UK. Then you go down and there, the ads are enormous. Attitude Mag. I thought it was Attitude for a minute, which is their
No, that's just on your favourites.
Attitude. I'll have you know I was a pin-up in Attitude Mag a long time ago. Attitude Mag, ADHD, do I have HD? So look, it's people go online and test. But my column this week, I think, should be my responses to these tests. So question one, so I think there's 10 questions. I find it difficult finishing a task or project. Never, rarely, sometimes, often, very often. Never? I finish everything I start, right?
Okay.
But tell me if I'm wrong, because I don't want to do this wrong.
Well, I don't fucking know. You tell me.
You know me better. You know me. You always...
You make such a fuss about how you finish every task that you start.
So I do. I find it difficult to organise myself or a task. No. Correct? What? Honestly, I'll do it quite quickly.
Hey, listen. I'm trying to think of...
I'm doing it quickly. It's boring. My attention is not held.
I'm trying to... You're not very good at planning ahead, no. When you fixed that radiator upstairs, you just did it. You just went at it like with no thought, no planning.
And I screamed for someone to come
and help you. Yeah.
Yeah. And there was leaking and nobody came because you were down here listening to a podcast because you've got ADHD and can't do anything without listening to a podcast.
Go on.
I find it difficult to organise myself or a task. No, I think I'm well organised.
No, you're not.
Never, rarely, sometimes, often. I don't often find it difficult to organise myself.
Well, because you do...
I've got a running order. I've got cuttings.
Yes, you're fine at organising things that...
Rarely. Question three. I find it difficult to remember appointments.
Yes.
That does happen.
Yeah, it does happen.
Like when Henry and Jemima rang the doorbell.
But that was my
Hello,
fault too.
And they were holding a bottle of wine.
Yeah.
If a task or project requires a lot of thought, I'll often delay in getting it started. I don't think that is true of me.
No, you're pretty good. But the point I do want to make, and I want you to not interrupt me, okay? The point I do want to make is that...
Bored now.
Is that you do the same tasks over and over again. If something new requires...
Are you complaining about our sex life? If I would ever shake it up for just a fucking minute. I find it difficult to sit still and often fidget or squirm. It's not true! It was fucking uncomfortable at that play we went to. The play that goes wrong. They're in the theatre, but the theatre's boring. Everyone knows the theatre's boring. I find it difficult to sit still and often fidget or squirm. Do I squirm? Do I fidget, Ben, when we do the podcast?
Yeah.
No! Fuck off, the pair of you!
Yeah, and
all right, often
and,
or very
and when
often.
You're, like, often. And you also, if you're on the phone or doing anything, you have to get up and walk up and down.
Everyone does that.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
No, they don't.
All men walk around in circles while they're on the phone. With the cord, twiddling the cord. No? Okay, I'm going to put often, but not very often, because they're going to send me free amphetamines.
No, they're not.
What's that? Pain. Ooh, James Maris reacted to my B-reel. Sorry, what are we focusing on? This.
Dunno.
I would describe myself as being on the go and feel compelled to do things as if driven by a motor. No! I find it hard to remain focused in group settings.
Yes.
What? I'm focused on this!
Okay.
Question eight. My mind feels very cluttered and it's hard for me to concentrate on one thing at a time. No, come on.
I would say no to that because what you do is you can't concentrate on more than one thing at a time.
Because I'm a bloke. You always tell me that women can concentrate on lots of things.
No. That's the media. I never say that.
Like when your mum phoned and you thought it might be to do with her birthday celebration before the podcast. And I said, deal with it. Because I can't bear to do this podcast without knowing whether your mum's coming for dinner tomorrow. And you are happy to compartmentalise it. I just need to get things done in a linear way because I'm not ADHD.
No. That's not what it is. You are unable to prioritise is what you are unable to do. Absolutely incapable of prioritising anything. You can't say, this is more important than that.
Well, do I not like that? Who's going to read the results?
Me.
Oh, God. Just, hey, you dazzles. The headlines there being...
Your results are highly consistent with ADHD. We recommend speaking to a healthcare professional.
That's quite strong.
Yeah.
Low, medium, probably. So your results are highly consistent with ADHD. I seem to have a 35 is my score. Low, medium probability is 0 to 28. High probability is 29 to 48. We recommend speaking to a healthcare professional.
Mm-hmm.
You can speak to your GP or call us free. Confidential talk. Spend money, buy drugs. is what they're saying. So basically, they massively think I've got ADHD.
Yeah.
Do you honestly think I've got ADHD?
I think you're an ADHD type person.
But I think it doesn't fucking exist. I'm just impatient. And ready?
Yeah.
We're going to see if my wife is ADHD. Question one. I find it difficult finishing a task or project.
Yes.
Very often. Very often. You've never finished anything, right?
Yeah, very often.
I find it difficult to organise myself for a task.
Often.
I find it difficult to remember appointments.
Rarely.
If a task or project requires a lot of thought, I'll often delay in getting it started.
Yeah, very often.
I find it difficult to sit still and often fidget or squirm.
Rarely.
Yeah, no, you sit still for ages making faces at me. I would describe myself as being on the go and feel compelled to do things as if driven by a motor.
Rarely.
Rarely. Mm-hmm. I find it hard to remain focused in group settings. Can I just say nobody is able to focus in group settings.
Often, yeah.
Everybody hates meetings. Everybody hated school classroom. Mm-hmm. Everybody loved break time or PE or something about it. Some people liked doing exams. Nobody liked the group settings.
I would say often, yeah.
Often in group settings. My mind feels very cluttered and it's hard for me to concentrate on one thing at
Rarely.
A time. Really? I'll be fucked off if it says you're not ADHD. I make decisions quickly and fail to think through the consequences.
Rarely. I make decisions quickly, but I've thought about what's going to happen.
I am
next.
Often irritable with a short fuse.
Rarely.
No, not rarely.
No, I'm not irritable.
More than yes, you
no,
are.
I'm not. No, I'm not. If there's a sometimes, then sometimes.
I'm often irritable. You're sometimes irritable.
Fine. I would accept
more
that.
To be irritated about.
No, you haven't. Sometimes.
I have mood swings. Sometimes feeling quite high, other times quite low.
No.
Yes.
No, rarely.
What? Okay, you're not. Okay, I'm just thinking. Sorry.
I'm just thinking. My wife, who I live with, is she moody?
Is
no,
she
she's
moody?
Not.
Do I pay much attention to her? I'm not good
not
in a group scenario.
No,
I don't,
you're
know.
Not. You don't.
And I find it hard to listen to what people are saying to me.
Exactly.
I'm going to put often.
No.
I have mood swings. Sometimes feeling quite high, other times low. Okay,
rarely. Thank you.
All right, rarely. I often miss what is being said to me in conversations.
Rarely.
It's going to fucking say you're okay. Your results are not consistent with ADHD. That's fucking outrageous. There'll be more from Esther and me in our kitchen after a short interlude. But to find out what I wrote about in the end, why not pick up a subscription to The Times and The Sunday Times and enjoy 1 month absolutely free? Just search thetimes.co.uk/Giles Corran has no idea. I've been promised that this will take you to an amazing offer. Rather than just a website created by Ben randomly containing all my broadcasting mistakes. Although I'm sure that exists somewhere, it's just going to be up to you to find it.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Manveen Rana from The Story, a daily news podcast from The Times. Join me and my co-host Luke Jones for a deep dive into the big stories and investigations. Plus, each month, William Hague hosts an agenda-setting interview with a key newsmaker or big thinker. That's The Story. The Times daily podcast that brings you one remarkable story told in depth. Listen every weekday on the Times Radio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Basil Fawlty's back.
Yeah, oh God.
What do you think about that? Basil Fawlty's back. John Cleese has said he's got together with Rob Reiner, actual producer of When Harry Met Sally and proper stuff.
But the thing is that Americans have a very, very, very weak grasp of whether British people are actually funny or not. They just hear their British accents and they think that's funny or interesting. Just like I am enthralled to any American. I think any American is incredibly glamorous. Mm. I just do. But Americans think all
Reginald
British people...
Reginald D. Hunter... It's basically funny because of his voice.
I know.
Very deep voice, but this great sort of southern accent. And if I said the things that he said, nobody would laugh. I know, because nobody laughs at anything I say. So the whole thing about Fawlty Towers, which was funny, or sort of a good sitcom, was that there were only 12. You know, and the legend built up around it because there were only 12. But also, Cleese, he had that alimony tour. Mm-hmm. You know, he's obviously bringing it back for the money. But is this going to be funny this time around? Apparently, he's going to deal with, you know, it says here he's going to deal with all the irritations of the modern world. Whereas we know that he's massive anti-woke. I wrote a column a couple of years ago when Cleese said he'd come back to London. It didn't seem like a British city anymore, which sounded a little bit...
It's what people call on the internet dog whistle racism, isn't it?
It is a bit. But I thought you weren't making a note. Is that just shopping? Just bored with your ADHD of me talking.
Ritalin, yeah. No, I wrote down Connie Booth.
Yes. Great, sexy woman. I was going to say great. She was the sexiest.
I thought you were going to say great feminist point. Instead, you said great
sexy woman. No, you make a good point. The funny thing about Fawlty Towers, Manuel... who was he wasn't a racist caricature. He was a funny caricature in the days when it was, we could find the Spanish funny and they could find us funny. Yeah. You couldn't have a foreigner played by an Englishman with a moustache now. You just couldn't. But he was funny. Prunella Scales was incredibly funny. Connie Booth was incredibly...
Who co-wrote it.
It was incredibly funny. The ensemble was funny. He just ran around shouting with his long dangly legs and I don't think was funny.
I think that with those shows... I think there is, you know, for example, Ben Elton and Richard Curtis, who wrote Blackadder together. Richard Curtis, I mean, you know, he's a great beloved national treasure, but his writing on its own is a little bit trad, saccharine, sentimental, isn't it? Ben Elton is more fiery and sort of interesting, but together they had this amazing sort of alchemy where that produced Blackadder.
Well, because Ben Elton is anarchy.
Right.
And in everything he does, whether the way he did his stand-up, the way he does everything, his humour, his rat-a-tat-tat is just anarchy. Mm-hmm. And Richard Curtis is establishment. Yeah. I mean, Four Weddings and a Funeral, in a quite a triggering way for me, who doesn't have any mates and didn't go to any weddings, Four Weddings and a Funeral came about...
You're too busy going... rah, 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 in a field on your own, just going round and round. Rah, 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 rah.
Driving a tractor? What noise is that?
It's your ADHD.
That's the ADHD noise. what was I talking about? I'm not very good at these group situations. What did he say to me?
You lost your train of thought.
No, but my mind feels cluttered. I just can't.
Four Weddings and a Funeral.
Yes, Four Weddings and a Funeral was. He said he got the idea for it because he had one of the. He said, you know, I had one of the, for 3 years. I just had a wedding every in the summer. I had a wedding every weekend.
Yeah.
He went to 100 weddings. So Ben Elton didn't.
So my point is this going to work? No, who knows?
While you talk, which is very interesting, I'm going to.
You're just going to quickly butter the kitchen services.
Get some butter.
John Cleese alert. People think that, but that Fawlty Towers was just John Cleese. It wasn't. It was an ensemble cast and half written, probably, I don't know, maybe mostly written by Connie Booth. Who knows? It's Fawlty Towers is more than John Cleese. And John Cleese is, I mean, he's just not very funny, is he?
No, but I mean, look, the sitcom, I suppose, is... Look, here's what I think.
What do you think?
No, well, here's what I think in terms of a column.
Yeah.
And I genuinely think it could be a column. And it's an easy, nice listicle, because my columns have all been very ranty for the last thing. If they're bringing back Fawlty Towers, what about these other 19s? Because he's going to... The Fawlty Towers in the modern world, and he's going to... What about these other 1970s sitcoms?
Okay.
Like It Ain't Half Hot Mum. Would you remember this? It Ain't Half Hot Mum, you know, where...
With that shouting man with the moustache.
With Windsor Davis with the shouting moustache, and lots of homophobia, and I think there was an element of blackface...
Was there?
Dad's Army. Citizen Smith. Because these are all going to be before your time.
No, Citizen Smith was Richard Beckinsale, wasn't it?
No, it was Richard...
Oh, wait. It was that handsome man.
Yes. Who is Robert Lindsay.
Robert Lindsay.
Is he handsome?
Oh, he's so handsome, Robert Lindsay.
He's dishy.
So dishy.
Robert Lindsay, he was Citizen Smith, so you could do... And he was part of the people and the tooting Popular Liberation Front or something. So the Corbyn, you know, you could do... What would he be? Terry and June?
Updated 70s sitcoms. Yeah. Rising Damp. Rising Damp, what was the name of that man who played that with the pointy nose? Who was the
land?
Was he also in that sitcom where the man leaves all his clothes on the beach and then runs into the sea?
The Rise and Fall of Reginald Perrin.
Reginald Perrin.
Fall and Rise of Reginald Perrin.
Was that also Lennon Rossiter?
That was Lennon Rossiter.
Does he actually walk into the sea at the end?
It's in the credits at the beginning. He fakes his own death and leaves a pile of clothes.
Because he hates his job, right?
Sort of, I think so.
So, right, yeah. Okay, so who would they be now? Who would Terry and June be now?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's really funny.
Is that funny?
Yeah. What was that one set in the hospital? Happiness. No. Do you remember that?
Only When I Laugh.
Only When I Laugh. That was really good. I quite liked it.
Yeah.
And they wore those. And you never find out what was wrong with them, why they were in hospital
for
so long. Because there's no way. So obviously the immediate joke with Only When I Laugh is like,
The NHS.
Yeah.
I mean, it's,
it's just the NHS. Exactly. That, like,
you could have a sitcom where people used up a hospital bed for like months on end, and in this one they'd all be in a corridor on a trolley.
Exactly.
I mean, it's not very funny.
No, it's not funny, but it's but it's completely accurate.
Other sitcoms, The Good Life. Porridge was brilliant. Fawlty Towers was brilliant. They were brilliant, perfect sitcoms. And things like Bless This House was not.
Let me tell you why this is going to be a great column. Is because everybody fucking loves a nostalgia column, right?
Yeah.
I wrote a piece about Xennials. About the no, it's not a generation, but it's kind of a micro generation between Gen X and millennials. And it was fine. I'm a perfectly good writer. But I had a list of things that mark you out as a Xennial, right? And it's like, you remember your best friend's phone number. You've made a phone call from you've reversed the charges on a phone. All of those things. And people went absolutely I went on Radio New Zealand because they were absolutely crackers for this. And it's a nostalgia piece. What you're writing there is a nostalgia piece.
New Zealand still hasn't changed in 40 years. They still have dial-up phones, dial-up broadband.
Yeah, exactly.
Dial-up internet.
Everything's powered by dolphins. But I think that...
That's quite funny. And the only problem is, I don't want to go... Richard Littlejohn type of column on that would be... He thinks it's okay to be sexist and racist and the world's gone woke crazy. And it needs to not be that.
Well, then you have to kind of... I think you can do the first bit. Your kind of intro can be, you know, the problems with doing Fawlty Towers at the moment is that it's sort of racist and sexist. Although, I mean, he's only making jokes about the Germans. And we still make jokes about the Germans, and that's
probably,
fine.
There's probably...
What would it be now? Don't mention the war. It's still don't mention the war, isn't it? I think it would be funny. You could do it in your intro. These are the problems that people say with Fawlty Towers. And then you just bring back the greatest hits. Don't bring back the ones that relied on sort of racist tropes, because they weren't that popular or funny at the time, and they're not anymore.
I want to do a thing about composting humans, because I'm really into compost and weeing on my compost.
Okay,
and I want to know whether it's okay to sort of lob your nan in.
Can you please just pick the one that, can you prioritise the one that you like most out of that list, and then we'll do one more, okay?
Have you got a problem with concentrating? Do you find this group situation difficult?
No, I need a wee and I'm really hungry, okay? And I've been talking for an
hour. You've got
to
stop sitting facing the clock, because the clock is an artificial thing.
No,
you're irritable. You were trying to say you weren't irritable.
Sorry,
my irritable wife is off, but I don't want to start this again. End it, Ben, end it. I'm done. You've been listening to Giles Corran Has No Idea with me, Giles Corran.
And me, Esther Walker.
It's a Wireless Studios production for The Times, produced by Ben Mitchell. You can listen to us on the Times Radio app or download from wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Rising sea levels, extreme weather patterns, extinctions of species. Our planet needs protecting. I'm Adam Vaughan, the environment editor for The Times, and this is Planet Hope from The Times, in partnership with Rolex and its Perpetual Planet Initiative. In this podcast, we hear from leading experts from around the world who are committed to finding solutions. These explorers, scientists, entrepreneurs, and citizens are committed to a common goal: to protect our home, Earth. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.